So today, as part of our podcast series, which is powered by Upside Global, we have the honor to interview Quinn Sandler, CEO of Plantiga, a leader in mobile health and performance monitoring. So Quinn is a movement health entrepreneur. So Quinn, welcome to the show.
Thank you so much. It's a pleasure to be here.
Great. So Quinn, you know, what I want to talk to you about today was talk about your background and also talk about Plantiga, your product, as well as the benefits for the teams to use your product, as well as your plans for the next 12 months. So how does it sound?
That sounds fantastic. Fire away.
Great. Okay. So, you know, what can you tell us about your background for the audience?
Okay, so I was born and raised in Vancouver, British Columbia, which is in Canada on the West Coast. Plantiga is based here as well. So we have a team members in the US, but we're very much based in Canada. We're a
Yeah.
proud Canadian company because we also manufacture our hardware here as well. My personal background, I have been involved in entrepreneurship in some form or another since I was about 19.
Yeah.
Before Plantiga, I had a few different startups. One was called Keystone Learning. One was the Principal Design Group that did kind of branding and identity, but always been around product, always been around design. And that's kind of where the focus of my life has been before Plantiga. Now with Plantiga, I feel like I am a almost an amateur slash professional sports scientist, just because the amount of work that we do around sports science and around data and analytics. So, although not classically trained in applied sports science, I definitely can speak that lingo. So that's a little
And
bit
what
about
was,
kind of our background.
okay, that makes sense. And was your background in sensor technology in any way or no?
No, so I literally went to school actually for political science and for
Yeah.
design. So my background was in graphic design and product design, and
Yeah.
that's where I spent a lot of my youth, but no, not in sensor technology. I founded Plantiga with my father. Now my father had a background in biomechanics and product
Yeah.
design, and that's where the kind of unique understanding came from. But my father passed away about 3.5 years ago now.
Yeah,
So
sorry to hear that.
that's okay, thank you. So we're very much taking up the charge, but it was his vision initially in terms of trying to get ground reaction force equivalent data from within footwear, understanding that that was a blue sky opportunity.
So that was his idea.
Yes, that
Okay, great. So, doing a deeper dive into that. So, can you tell us about Plantiga and also, well, you already answered the question, how did you get the idea? But just tell us about the product. What does it do? And also, what are the benefits for the teams to use your product?
For sure. So, yeah, I guess just to recap, the genesis definitely came from my father, just around if we could measure, if we could take the lab, like the human performance lab, the gait lab, to the
Yeah.
individual, that there would be immense opportunity in sport performance, in wellness, in health, et cetera. So where we are today and what our product really is we are a movement monitoring platform. So we really focus on movement health, and then the inverse of that is obviously performance around movement. What we do is we have very small IMU-based sensors that we've developed that Velcro into an orthotic or an insole, and they measure movement with precision. So how somebody runs, how they walk, how they jump, their ability to change direction. And then we built quite a sophisticated software layer on top of that that allows individuals or organizations to really dive deep into that biomechanical data. So whether it's things like speed, ability in changing direction, jump height, rates of acceleration, workload, et cetera, that type of data is really used to drive decision making around athletes, their programming, their return to play or their rehabilitation. It's kind of used on both sides of that coin. So kind of the if they're injured, dealing with them and managing them with objective measures and data, and then if
Yeah.
they're healthy, using that data to drive performance and the programming around it.
Okay, so as you know, right, lots of teams are concerned about, or they're trying to prevent injuries, right? If you take, for example, some teams like Real Madrid, they got criticized a lot over the years sometimes for having too many injuries. So how have you do you have any case studies where you can say, you know what, with our product, we're able to prevent injuries or increase the rehab process. I mean, improve the rehab process or speed up the rehab process.
We don't have any kind of externally validated ones, but we have a lot of internal case studies with NBA players, yeah, NFL players, lots of different organizations that we work with where, you know, using our product, you can never know actually the inverse of preventing an injury. You can look at injury rates and see if they drop, but it's hard to know what you don't predict, or it's hard to know what doesn't happen. But I am hopeful that the platform that we've provided to organizations really does make them perform better and be healthier. And I do know that with some NBA teams, as an example, we are used across the board with every single player. They are using and tracking their players with Plantiga, both to establish baselines on how they walk and how they run and how they jump. And then they use that data in managing kind of injury surveillance, readiness, but managing that player's kind of health and well-being from the movement side.
Yeah, okay, that's great. And congrats on that. So, you know, we work with lots of soccer teams, right? Some of the biggest soccer teams in Europe. Lots of MLS teams, for example. And as you know, when it comes to, so the athletes, the soccer athletes are very particular about wearing anything on their body, and especially about wearing something in the shoe. So, you know, do you work with soccer teams, number one? And do you, you know, if you work with soccer teams, they say, look, you know, we can't wear, you know, the smart insole because it's where the players don't want to use it, or do you don't have any issues there?
No, I think I think that's very astute. I think, especially because soccer cleats are actually quite a small piece of footwear. It's not like a baseball cleat. It's a very, very tight cleat. So no, we've definitely worked. We work with one MLS team. We're used a lot in the rehab, but in the rehab, they're wearing just like regular Nike Zooms or something like that. So it doesn't really come into play. When they're actually playing on field or on the pitch, yeah, some players definitely can say that they feel it. I would say it's only 1 out of 10. The vast majority of people, our insole is very, very thin. The vast majority of athletes don't feel it.
That's great.
We have partnered with orthotics manufacturers as well. So if a player wears an orthotic, we can retrofit that to have our sensor go in there, or we can make an orthotic with their partner that has a cavity to put our little sensor pod in the arch. So that's how we kind of tackle that issue.
I think it's great that you can do that, and that, you know, it's very light, right? I think it's great. So, I know lots of teams are using force plates, right? Force plate is kind of pretty common. So, how is your product better than force plates? Obviously, in terms of weight, it's super light. It's non-invasive. I mean, you just put it in the shoe. How do you think your product is better versus force plates?
I don't think it's better. I think it's different. So force plates are very, very valuable. But if you look at a force plate, it measures jumping or walking, but it measures it outside of the pitch. It measures it actually jumping in a very different protocol inside of a gym or, you know, in an office. What we do is we measure data at the terminal task, which means literally where the athlete is performing. That's where we're measuring jumping and walking and running. So you can do a jump test protocol like you would do on force plates. We measure what's called RSI and jump height and ground contact time. We measure it literally within a couple percent of what a force plate outputs as well. But we're a different tool. Like, you'll still want to jump on a force plate to measure their force profile curve. You're still going to want to do that. But you actually, from a team's perspective, they don't really know what's happening to their players' biomechanics when they're on the pitch. Like, just to go back to soccer, it doesn't exist right now. Like, they can't measure the biomechanics. There's a couple, you know, places. I think there's Player Maker or Playmaker, which is putting.
Yeah, you're right. Yeah, I've heard of them.
But that's more tactical, and I'm sure we're kind of doing similar things. But we really focus on the health and the performance piece of that. And then we also have some pretty sophisticated models around that we've built using machine learning that can actually judge the health of the knee and the ankle and the hip. So we kind of have some unique AI-driven insights around lower body musculoskeletal health.
Okay. And so the soccer team you mentioned, do they actually use your product, your insoles, during live games or just during training?
They just do it during training, and actually the majority of it is used in rehab or return to play. So imagine the athletes coming back or dealing with like an Achilles tendinopathy or a nagging knee injury, you know, from a previous ACL, excuse me. They will use our product in evaluating them and tracking them, but usually that's done in the gym or kind of in the like physical therapy realm. It's not quite on the pitch. Although we have an NFL client of ours that uses us in game and in practices for their whole offensive and defensive line.
That's cool.
So for there, they're tracking load.
Mm-hmm. That's great. I was going to ask you about, I don't know if you can share that, but what about pricing? Like, can you share maybe a range of pricing, or is it comparable to the price for force plates, or can you give a sense of where you are with that?
Yeah, so it really is hard to pin down price a little bit because it's just highly dependent on their requirements.
Yeah.
We usually have a kind of a standard set where it's roughly about $1,000 per head per year. That can kind of go up or go down depending on how many an organization purchases.
Yeah.
But like, let's say they wanted to tack in, track like 10 or 15 people, it would probably be around, you know, $10,000 to $15,000, maybe a little bit more or less, depending on what we need to do around support and setup.
Okay. That makes sense. I did see that one of the Olympic athletes, track and field from Canada, right?
Yes.
Was using your insoles.
That's right.
What has been the impact for him at the Olympics?
Andre DeGrasse is our brand ambassador. So Andre won the gold medal in the 200 meter. He won bronze in the 100 meter, and he won bronze in the 4x100. So he had a very successful
time. Pretty amazing,
What we do with him, and we actually support, so just backtrack for a second. We support organizations. We also support a growing list of athletes individually. So the exact same service that we provide to an NFL team or an NBA team or an MLS team, we're actually offering to individual athletes. So Andre is one of about maybe 40 or 50 individual athletes that we track. So what he gets is he gets analysis and collection on sprinting and jumping, walking and running. And I would say that the data just helps influence and creates baselines for some of his performance. And that data is used by his coaching staff to support the work that they're doing. And we'll be collecting and doing some kind of deeper stuff that I can't quite speak to with Andre. I'm kind of piloting some of our, I guess, novel models and insights a little bit more. But that's how he's been using it so far.
Okay. And I'm assuming with your insoles, right? Because you say you track the load, right? Workload, you can see basically if an athlete is, you know, is that maybe at a risk of injury, because if the load is too much, if you ran too much on a particular session or during training session, you can see that, right?
A couple things flag for increased risk. One is if you have changes in asymmetries that are outside normal bandwidths. So that's kind of your right compared to your left limb. If you have higher forces on your one limb, you're always asymmetrical. But let's say that you go from 5% to 15%. That's a big deal. Also, we do jump testing as a measure of readiness. So you can do a, which is what force plates offer as well, but you can do like a consecutive counter movement jump or a cyclic hop test. And those will give you a measure of neuromuscular fatigue and if a player or if an athlete is ready to go and perform. So a couple of those metrics will be, will always be used in helping determine if an athlete is at higher risk for injury.
Okay, that makes sense. So speaking of, you know, looking forward, right? So what are your plans for the next 12 months? I know you don't just focus on sport, but also I think physical therapy. What are your plans?
Yeah, so over the next 12 months, we have a growing business around providing our platform to organizations to manage the health of their population. So NCAA organizations, professional sports teams, high schools, and that's something that we're proud of, and we love that work. What we're doing over the next 12 months is we're actually growing out our individual program where we're enabling individual athletes from Olympics down to triathletes, down to people like you and me that really want to kind of up their game in terms of performance, or if you want to run a marathon. And we're building out our platform's capability to provide the service to individual athletes. So that's actually a big focus of ours over the next 12 months. On our team business side, we're adding, you know, more advanced algorithms and the ability to really dissect, change a direction. So we're adding some things there that I think will be very impactful. And again, we're really focusing on building out that individual capability as well.
Yeah, and you raised another round of funding, right? So you can use that.
We just closed a round a couple months ago.
Okay, great. So congrats on that. So last question. Last question is, what advice would you give to young entrepreneurs looking to build their own sports tech startup? Because you've gone through that cycle. And so what, you know, it's not easy, right? So what advice
took me 10 years.
I know. Right. Yeah.
What advice would I give? So I think the biggest thing that I have learned is there is a difference between what sometimes we have thought that a press. So let's take a strength coach or a physical therapist or a sport performance coach. There's sometimes a difference between what we think that that coach wants and what that coach actually wants. So for any young entrepreneur that's looking to build out their own sports tech, I would literally get whatever you're doing. If it's a product, an app, a new type of assessment, if it's a tracking technology, if it's a skills technology, whatever, I would get it into market and into the hands of your users as quickly as you can. That is probably the thing that advanced our knowledge and understanding, because lots of times you don't really know what works and what doesn't work until it's really, like, to use the pun, like, in the field of play. So for anybody that's working on something, I would try to get some version of what they have into the marketplace, into even if it's a high school team, your local tennis coach, like, well, whatever, but get it out there as quickly as you can. I think that's the biggest piece
and
of advice.
And get feedback and then reiterate.
And get feedback. Because we didn't do that enough when we were younger as a company. Now that's baked into what we do. Like, every customer that we talk to, we always ask them what they like. How can we improve? Always, always, always.
Yeah, and I know in the early days, you were looking at to build a shoe, right? A smart shoe, right? That's right.
Exactly.
And, you know, we're just talking to the chief scientific officer of Renault, who happened to have built Siri at Apple. And he said, you got to be able to pivot, 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 even 10 times if you have to. That's just the nature of the beast, right?
Yeah. And the only way you know to pivot is by acquiring data on usage and what they like and what they don't like. Another thing too, which I think we did a good job of at Plantique, is, you know, even early on, you got to be talking with your end customers. And even when we started selling our system into pro sports, I don't think we quite understood why they were using it. And they started using it in ways that we didn't quite not intend. But it was very insightful to just have that dialogue be very, very close, and that relationship be very close with them. But yeah, to your point, lots of pivots. You have to be willing to move quickly like that.
Yeah, that makes sense. Any other advice you can think of?
Any other advice that I would think of? I would think that too, you know, pro sports, they are a very good place to start.
Yeah.
I think what pro sports offers a lot of sport tech entrepreneurs is validation and kind of integrity and brand awareness. And when you get the buy-in, because teams have literally the best sport performance scientists in the world, the best coaches, the best trainers. So if you get that group using your product, you have the ability to leverage that to go more downstream. So I would look at, I would tell any young entrepreneur, focus on pro teams for sure, but understand that your vision needs to be bigger and more grand than just professional sports. It needs to go down to the amateur athletes, the we are all athletes, that type of mentality.
Yeah. Well, and I think you're right. And then also, I always tell startups, you can start in sports, but then if you want to scale your business, and the VCs want to see that, you got to go into other verticals like military, government, healthcare, whatever it is, enterprise, right?
So, exactly. Like, you know, we're talking right now, so we do a lot of work in sports, but we have ourselves probably the most lucrative contracts that we get are in military. So both for the Canadian and the US. And then now we're talking to literally some of the largest companies on the planet about workplace health and safety testing and assessments. So similar to what an athlete does, but now they're like corporate athletes and offering the same type of assessment, prescription, programming, but for people that work in a warehouse at some company.
Makes sense.
So you really have to like take what you learn in sport and apply that to other industries if you want to grow a big venture-backed company. Not everybody does, but if you want, if you have those ambitions, that's what you have to do.
Yeah, that makes sense. So look, we're at the end of the interview. It was super insightful, and congrats on all your success. So thank you for your time, Quinn.
My pleasure. Thank you, Julian. It's been a pleasure.
Thank you.